Please remain on the line.
Please stand by. Good day and welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Monitoring VTAM and TCP/IP with OmegaMon XE for Mainframe Networks. Today's call is being recorded. The teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you will see a demonstration using screen captures of IBM Tivoli OmegaMon XE for Mainframe Networks new version 3.1, leveraging ZOS Communication Server AP, The demonstration will show you how OmegaMon monitors and manages Enterprise Extender, HPR, OSA Express, TCP/IP connections by applications, FTP performance, and the new NetView for ZOS 5.2 integrations from a single Tivoli Enterprise portal. The teleconference will be hosted by Ernie Gilman, IT Specialist, IBM Tivoli Performance Automation Team. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Ernie. Please go ahead, sir.
Much for the introduction, and we're going to start with slide 2. I'm going to start with a quick overview of the Tivoli Z-Series network management solutions. I'll be getting into some of the evolution of both NetView and the network management products I'm going to be talking about. Then I have a couple scenarios that I'm going to show some integration between NetView for ZOS and OmegaMon for Mainframe Networks, and so that should be quite interesting. And then finally, I'm going to go into more detail of Tivoli OmegaMon XE for Mainframe Networks. Okay, and that'll include some new functions such as Enterprise Extender and using the new Communication Server API that'll help with performance. Let's go to the next slide, slide 3, and let's just do a level set of where we're coming from and where we're going to. Where we're coming from is really managing the SNA network. And I kind of compare that with when I go to the doctor, I tell the doctor what's wrong with me and so forth. And that's kind of like what SNA is. It tells you what's wrong with you with generic alerts. How it changes from SNA to TCP/IP. And the tools have changed too. So I'll talk about NetView and how its tools have changed from SNA to TCP/IP. And of course, with OmegaMon for Mainframe Networks. Next slide is slide 4. And this is kind of a positioning of all the products that I'll be talking about today and even some of the products I'm not going to be talking about. At the very top, we have NetView for ZOS, which used to be NetView for OS390 for some of you. We have the previous name product. And that's how we position as network management operations. Okay. And with NetView, the current release of NetView, which is actually 5.2, which just recently came out, it actually includes a copy of NetView Distributed. And what we use that for is to help manage the routers and hubs. And it will actually feed into topology that it discovers for TCP/IP into the graphical interface. There's actually a screen capture of that on there. So through a common graphical interface, you can see both SNA and TCP/IP topology. NetView is also the product that is used to run system automation for ZOS. So basically, it's what I would call an application that runs on top of NetView for ZOS. So that's what I would position for more advanced out-of-the-box automation for policies for automating CISIS, IMS, DB2, and ZOS itself to help with more complex recovery procedures and startup and takedown procedures. NTuneMon, which you see in the far right corner, is a tool that I wrote many years ago as an expert system for managing 3745, or the new CCL, Communication Controller for Linux, which runs on a Linux and Z-Series. So as soon as the SNA and 45 goes away, you won't need that anymore. And that also is a NetView for ZOS application that runs on top of that. For reporting, we actually have Tivoli Decision Support for ZOS, which used to be called Performance Reporter. And what that does is read SMF reports and files and takes all that information, processes, and puts it into a DB2 database on the mainframe. And then you can come up with reports against that. And then finally, I'm going to talk about is the Megamon XC for mainframe networks. And what that is, we just came out with version 3.1, and that includes the Megamon 2 product, which is actually the 3270 interface, which has been around for quite a while, that can do both SNA and TCP/IP. We also include the MPM product, which is also a product that also does SNA and some TCP/IP. And basically, the way I would see that, as long as you have a 45 in your environment or NCP, you would probably have MPM in your environment. So it does include both the MPM product and the Megamon 2 product included in that. It also includes the Tivoli Data Warehouse in order to help with the historical data. And then the Megamon XC itself, I'm going to go into more detail of how it will help manage both your SNA environment, with basically the Enterprise Extender and HPR, TN3270, FTP, TCP/IP connections, OS Express, and so forth. So that's where I'll be going into more detail. If we go to slide 5, it gives a little bit more detail as how the product has evolved over time. Originally, we had something called MPMIP, which was a product that we had for managing TCP/IP environments. And then we also had the MPM product, which I just mentioned, for the SNA components, okay? What we did is we bundled that up and made it part of IBM Tivoli Monitoring for Network Performance. And the last version for that was version 2.1, okay? We decided that that solution was more complicated to install because it did prereq WebSphere, and it did require a DB2. So what we decided to do is when we acquired Candle, we then took what we learned from the IBM Tivoli Monitoring for Network Performance and updated the Megamon XE version 1 product for mainframe networks. And what we've now got is a IBM Tivoli Megamon XE for mainframe networks, which is now available. That includes all the work we've been working on in terms of combining all the technology for managing the new SNA, which is like Enterprise Extender and the HPR, and the TCP/IP technology, which I'll talk more about. So when you get a Megamon XE for mainframe network 3.1, it does include a copy of MPM 2.7, and it also includes a copy of a Megamon 2, basically the 3270 interfaces. So that's all in one box. Next slide is slide 6. I just want to just briefly mention that when we acquired Candle, the rest of IBM, the other groups, really liked what they saw. And what we're seeing is other organizations within IBM are now leveraging the Megamon technology. And one of the things I'm going to talk about, as you see on this slide, is the NetView for ZOS 5.2 is actually going to be leveraging and interfacing some of the Megamon technology, basically the portal technology. We used to be called the CandleNet portal, and now it's called the Tivoli Enterprise portal. So you're going to actually see some scenarios with that. ZOS 1.7, we announced that. They mentioned the management console that is going to be using that for the health checker, so that's going to be leveraged by ZOS. Other technologies could be using it, such as the IMS, CICS, DB2, and even some of the Tivoli distributed environments, such as Enterprise Consoles and ITM 6.1. So we're seeing the rest of IBM leveraging this technology, and I'm going to be talking about NetView, how it leverages it. Next slide is slide 7, which is basically introductions to some of the scenarios I'm going to be talking about. Before I get started with the scenarios, I just want to briefly mention on slide 8 is basically how NetView for ZOS has evolved over time, and we eventually had the 3270 interface, and then we actually had a graphical user interface. Originally it was an OS2, and then we evolved into a Windows-based GUI interface for topology, and basically we call it the NMC. And then we actually have some Java consoles that we have, basically the web interface that is currently available. And then finally, with the 5.2, we now feed into the Tivoli Enterprise portal, which I'm going to show you some scenarios. So this is kind of an evolutionary process as we move forward. What we wanted to do is move away from dedicated consoles that only NetView uses to a console that could be used by other solutions, and that's where the Tivoli Enterprise portal is very exciting because it will use the same interface as other organizations are using within IBM. Let's go to slide 9. This is just a kind of like a highlight of the portal, and I'm not going to go into this because I'll be discussing this during the rest of the presentation. Slide 10 is a scenario where we're talking about a system program gets notified by the operator that a user is having response time problems. So we're going to talk about how we would solve that problem. Slide 11, what we see here is a workspace of NetView. And so if you look at what we're seeing here is it's the NetView managing DBIPA connections. We see NetView managing potentially formatted packet trace. We see NetView being able to look at the audit logs and session data and TCP/IP connection data. So what I'll be doing is some of these scenarios, I'll be showing you some examples of some of these panels from NetView, and I'll show you how we can link back to mainframe networks if you have it optionally. So, for example, if I have TCP/IP connection data, as you can see at the bottom here, I can go ahead and click on a link that says, okay, I'm seeing I'm having some performance problems. I don't see anything that tells me from this interface what the performance problem might be, so I want to go over to my Megamon XE for mainframe networks view to see if it can give me some more detail on that. So if I right-click on that, you can actually see, it'll actually see it go to the mainframe networks TCP/IP connection list. So if we go to the next slide, which is slide 12, now we've gone from the NetView screen directly into a Megamon for mainframe networks screen, giving us more performance information here. Okay, and on this screen we can see that our connection has a high retransmission rate, which could be an indication that I've got some congestion somewhere in the network, which is really good. So I went from a NetView screen back to a mainframe network environment where I can see that. Now the problem could be due to maybe it's an OSA Express adapter that's got congestion. So what I can do is click on the OSA Express icon and go to slide 13. And before I do that, maybe I want to look at the trace, which is another function that's built into NetView. And with 5.2, I can actually see that packet trace information in the portal itself. Okay. Now, the way the information gets into NetView is very similar to the way NetView interfaces work today. What you do is you issue a command, and then you receive the response. And that's the way that all the NetView panels work today. So basically, you would right-click, issue a command like format the trace, and then it would fill in the data. This is the way the data gets filled in. Whereas mainframe networks is a little bit different, where it would automatically fill in the data based on timers that you have set up. Okay? So slide 13 is just an example of how you could look at the formatted trace, which is part of NetView for ZOS. Let's go to slide 14, and here's a channel view, for Megamon XE for mainframe networks, showing my OSA Express form utilization. And here you can see that my utilization is very high, approaching 100%. And maybe it's due to the microcode level. And one of the things that we can view from a Megamon is the actual microcode level. So maybe you can see that. I say, oh, okay, it's down level. And actually, there are some situations, if you are down level on your microcode, it could cause performance problems. So I'll go ahead and fix that. And then the next slide, which is 5.15, you see you can go ahead and verify that the updated microcode has fixed the problem. So we have all the capabilities to not only see the performance, but I can also verify the microcode levels of the data from my OSA Express. Well, let's go to slide 16. It's another scenario talking about DBIPA, which is basically I can distribute loads to multiple back-end systems. So some of the customers are using that. And again, this is something where you can leverage NetView workspaces. And in slide 17, we're seeing a NetView workspace where I can actually view the amount of traffic that's being sent over DBIPA to each of the systems. And these systems, here I got three systems, and I notice on one of the systems, I don't have very many connections, only 32 connections in this case. And so right off the bat, the graphics really helps me jump out at me to show me that I've got a problem. So when I go to slide 18, I can go to a NetView log and says, are there any messages occurring? So maybe there's a message indicating what the problem is. You know, the telnet server is going down or something like that. So I can look at the messages, see if there's a problem there. And then go to slide 19, go ahead and, let's say, recycle the telnet server. And I can go back and verify that the distribution of the DBIPA is back on track again. And then, of course, from his screen, I can actually go and navigate to different panels. So the whole idea is not having to go bring up different interfaces to solve these problems. Slide 20, again, I can go ahead and verify that traffic's running all right. And again, if I click on what I call these links on the bottom on the left-hand side, I can go into the Megamon for mainframe network connection workspaces and verify that the traffic is also working okay. So again, I've got ability to go between NetView and mainframe networks, and really it's almost transparent as far as which panel I'm on in many cases, because the data we're getting in some cases is coming from a common source. For example, the APIs from ComServe, which I'm going to talk a little bit more later, is data that we're getting sending both to NetView and to mainframe networks. And what that really helps us with is making sure that the data matches. So if I'm going from one panel, nephew panel, to mainframe networks and vice versa, I want to make sure that the data doesn't show different things. So it really helps us in terms of normalizing the data between the two panels. Let's skip slide 21 and go to slide 22. And this is a scenario about HPR, which is high-performance routing, which is actually the part of how SNA over IP has evolved. And in this case, we're starting from mainframe networks and looking at some performance issues that we may have with HPR. Again, I can link from my mainframe networks panel and go to slide 23, where I'm seeing the information from a nephew point of view. So I've gone from a mainframe networks workspace to a nephew workspace transparently because I'm seeing different types of information. On slide 23, we're seeing session data. Now, the session data we're seeing is actually LUs and SSP sessions, basically what I would call our traditional SNA sessions, not the Enterprise Extender and HPR. And that's one of the advantages of having a nephew workspace is because I'm able to see some of the more traditional SNA data in the workspace that I'm not seeing from the mainframe networks. So this is a beautiful way how the two products are working together. And as I showed you, we can go from the HPR connections workspace to the session data workspace from nephew. So this is very actually quite exciting, the way we can go between them and solve problems. In this case, we're seeing sense codes that could be causing problems. Sessions are failing because of sense codes. So slide 24, just kind of an overview of the value proposition. One of the things I wanted to point out to you is, and I'll mention this later in the session, is one of the things that nephew will help you with is to be able to react to problems more quickly in your environment. For example, the intrusion detection capabilities that are built into nephew is something you need to be able to react more quickly to than, let's say, maybe a standard automation. So that's where things like, you know, people say, well, why do I need nephew for? I'm getting a lot of information from other tools. But you do need something there to be able to react quickly to urgent problems and to automate off that. And so that's where nephew really helps you in that area. And the other area, of course, is the fact that nephew has now become a TCP/IP tool from what it was known as just an SNA tool. Let's go to the slide 25. And we're actually going to start talking about more detail on OmegaMon XC for mainframe networks 3.1. Slide 26 is just kind of discuss some of the problems we want to address with a performance tool. For example, we need to be able to manage the communication server for ZOS, and maybe I have different problem issues. For example, you have a customer who's got FTP issues. You know, maybe the FTPs are taking too long, or they're failing, or they're timing out. So I need something to be able to look at the FTPs. Or maybe someone who's doing unauthorized large FTPs. Okay, I maybe want to know what is the data set name or what's the TSO ID of the person doing the FTPs. So those are the type of things I want to be able to see. I see there's really two type of errors. There's hard errors and soft errors, and I want to be able to solve both. A hard error, of course, that maybe a connection fails and you see something. But a soft error is maybe things just slow down. So I need something to be able to see both, okay? And so sometimes for the softwares, you need to be able to see trends, and that's where this really helps you with. The other area we need to understand is be able to manage what I would call the new SNA, basically SNA over IP, and that would be the Enterprise Extender, high-performance routing, HPR, and actually, of course, TN3270. So those are the areas I want to be able to manage from a common interface, and I'll be talking about that, along with OS Express. OS Express has actually changed in terms of that's actually managed through SNMP, so I want basically a tool to manage OS Express, but I don't want to be an SNMP expert. So that's the way we want to deal with some of these issues. Because I don't want to retrain all my people to become SNMP experts or ASN.1. And so I want a TCP/IP tool for mainframe people who necessarily don't understand networking technology, such as SNMP and UDP and MIBS, for example. Okay? So let's go to slide 27, kind of an overview of what is the environment we're trying to manage here. And really, we want to manage anything talking to the mainframe and anything that can impact the performance of that. So, for example, I have an application. I want to look at the performance of the application by bytes or by the number of sessions, right? And then I want to look at the performance of the storage and also the TCP/IP stack, either IP or UDP. So those could be causing impacts of this. So I want to be able to set up indicators that maybe there's a problem in that area. Maybe I have a problem with the channel. They also express maybe my utilization is too high, or maybe I've got the wrong microcode level because of that, so I won't be able to look at that. And then going into the network and the service and the clients, I want to identify my enterprise extender, HPR, look at all my sockets and connections, FTP and TN270. And I want to be able to look at that data by bytes and sessions or retry counts, segmentation of errors, and anything that could be impacting my performance. So this is really the environment we want to talk about. Slide 28 talks about a new API that we've been developing with the comp server, communication server for ZOS. Our previous product that we had in the marketplace before this, which was NPMIP, was rewritten because of concerns about performance impact. Even the Omegamon XC for mainframe networks version 1. What we didn't want to do is issue SNMP commands or NetStat commands to gather a lot of the information because they have severe performance impact on the environment. So what we did is we followed the lead from something we had in NetView years ago, which was something called NLDM or Session Monitor. We actually developed an API. Those days was called VTAM. Now we named it Comp Server. So we had an API for the SNA, and we were saying, well, why don't we do the same thing for TCP/IP? And that's exactly what we did. So we actually have several API interfaces. So we have one for TCP/IP, and what that is used for is getting information of FTP sessions and transfer TN270 and TCP/IP memory statistics. In doing so, we don't have to go ahead and put in exits or look at vSAN files to get information, for example, the FTPs like we used to do in the old days. We also have an API directly into VTAM, and what that gives us information is a VTAM summary, buffers, enterprise extender, and HPR. So that helps us with that. And then the final interface is to actually help me with SNMP, because we still need to use SNMP together and have some information, such as the OS Express interface. So the overhead of that is actually greatly reduced than what it was in the old days. And then the final API, which I'm not showing here, is something that NetView uses, and that is the API to get the trace information. So it actually does packet trace formatting, and that's something that the NetView actually leverages. And now with 5.2, you'll see that information in the portal as I showed you in the previous scenario. So let's go look at slide 29. And in this one, I want to start off with looking at the TCP/IP stack. You know, maybe I'm having performance problems. Maybe everyone's having performance problems. So I want to be able to look at a high-level view of the TCP/IP stack. Or maybe you have multiple stacks. I want to be able to see multiple of them. Maybe I'm having segmenting errors. Or maybe I have out-of-order errors. And that could be caused by problems with the router, with the routing tables. Maybe there's a problem there. Or maybe some other issues. So let's go to slide 30. And we have a scenario here. Is maybe I have an intermittent problem, and you can see in this screen, I can see my throughput rates, okay, and I can see it's going down, and I can see on the screen, well, maybe it's due to fragmentation errors, or maybe it's reassembly, or discards, or retransmission. So here we have a panel where I'm seeing all the common problems that could be causing performance issues, okay, so something will jump out at me, okay. I could also set up a situation so it would be highlighted for me. As you can see in the little box on the top, you can see there's little red marks here, little red triangles and yellow triangles. Those are situations that we can set up to help us identify problems for me. For example, if I have a lot of fragmentation going on in the network, then maybe I have a problem with my MTU size. Okay, so I want to be able to identify that and actually see what the MTU is, and that we are able to see that in some other panels. Well, let's go to slide 31, and here we're seeing some more detail on my connections, and we can actually see all the connections coming into the communication server, into ZOS. So basically, the focus of this is I don't necessarily want to see connections between, let's say, an AX machine and an AS400. I'm focused on things going through the communication server. So here I'm giving a great deal of information. Again, I can see the total retransmissions, and in this case, I'm seeing round trip time is highlighted because it exceeds 2 seconds here. So that's a case where I want to be more proactive in terms of identifying where there's problems in my network. Let's go to slide 32. And this is a new VTAM workspace that we picked up from the new API that I mentioned earlier. And here we're seeing information such as an overview of the number of enterprise extender connections, the number of high-performance routing connections. I can look at, it's got some information about the storage. So this is a high level, and then I can drill down to any of these because I have specific workspaces for all these different high-level windows that I have here. Let's go to slide 33. And here we're just talking about maybe I want to look at the buffer pools. You know, maybe I have data backing up into my VOS, or maybe I have a high level of segmentation or fragmentation going on. So VTIM is just talking about buffers. The other thing that you may be seeing is a denial of service attack. Let's say a hacker is start sending a whole bunch of partial buffers into the comm server. That could start tying up buffers and so forth. So these things have to be monitored because it could be an indication of something strange going on in the network. So on slide 34 basically is an overview of the VTIM buffers that we're getting, such as the buffer pools, the CSA storage, and so forth. And you can set thresholds on these to indicate that you're running short. Normally you wouldn't have to look at these unless there's a severe problem. And like I said, something in the network could be causing issues in this area. Slide 35, we've got TCP/IP. Remember, again, I may have something, like I said, a denial of service attack. I got some tuning that's not done correctly. I got the MTU size is not set correctly, so I've got a lot of segments coming in. It's having to wait for all the buffers to come in before it sends it on. So this should show up in my TCP/IP memory. And then slide 36, maybe I want to look at all the interfaces here. And here, I may want to look at my MTU size because that could be causing serious performance issues, or what are my transmission rates or bandwidth utilization and error rates. So let's go look at slide 37. And here we're saying basically all the interfaces. This could be all the definitions that are defined in your ZOS machine. Okay, you may be seeing packets being discarded, or maybe you've got something in the router sending me a lot of data that's not really targeted for me, so I'm just throwing frames away. So it could be an indication that, like I said, something's configured incorrectly. So let's go to slide 38, and now we're going from basically a high-level view of my interfaces to a more specific view of OSExpress itself. And OSExpress actually is supported where I can go into more detail, and it does that through SNMP, but like I said, you don't see any of the SNMP. You don't see the fact that it's using MIBS or ASN.1, for example. We hide all that, okay? So what that's able to give me is things like utilization, transmission rates, and simple things like what's the MAC address, for example. So let's go to slide 39, and here you're seeing a view of my utilization within the last minute, last 5 minutes, and last hour. Okay, so this is just a high-level view of, like, do I have a problem? And what I would normally do is maybe set a threshold to say, you know, if it goes above, 80%, give me a warning or give me an error, for example, an event would kick off. And I'll show you a little bit later how we would do that, okay? So the top would be maybe some high-level graphs that I can look at. And at the bottom, you can see the summary. I can see a lot more detail, for example, the LPAR names, the microcode level, which I talked about earlier, control unit, and so forth. This is just a subset of all the variables that you can look at. And you can look at the data either by ports or LPAR, so you can have different workspaces. And you can create your own workspaces, for example, if you want to see, you know, LPAR information and storage information and TCP/IP connection information all on one workspace. It's very simple to create these very unique views. Let's go to slide 40, and maybe I want to look at my performance by application. So I want to see all the connections in terms of the states and the rates and the backlogs, activity, window sizes, response times, and retransmission. Let's go to slide 41. Here we're seeing a high-level view of the health of an application. So I can look basically by application, what is the byte counts? So I can see who's sending most of the data, okay, by total bytes. Or maybe there's a performance issue. That would show up maybe in terms of retransmission. So if you've got a, talked about in my scenario, I have an OSExpress adapter that's got a high utilization because of microcode level, whatever. That might show up in retransmission. So again, maybe I would just set up a threshold, but it's nice to be able to see the trends here. So going from what I would say a standard 3270 interface into a more or what I would consider a graphical interface, these trends jump out at me, okay? Now, on all these panels, I can actually look at the real-time data, but I can look at the near-term data, and I can look at the historical data. So I'm seeing all this information available through this interface, so I don't have to go to another interface to see the history. It's all coming in through the Tivoli Enterprise portal that we're seeing here. Let's go to slide 42, and again, we're looking at TCP/IP connections. In this case, we're seeing some round-trip times. Okay, so maybe I've got some performance problems. And again, like I mentioned in the scenario, I can set a threshold that if my response time goes beyond 3 or 4 seconds, I want a warning. So it's very easy to set that up. Let's go to slide 43, and this is a TN3270 session. This panel is specifically tied to where you're using the TN3270 server in ComServer. And so like I mentioned, ComServer's got the API and is getting the information and then sending it to mainframe networks. And here we're getting information such as the LU name, the remote names, and so forth. And we're giving us some performance information also. Now, if you're using a remote TN3270 server, you're not going to see it on this panel. You would have to go to the connections panel, okay? Because TN3270 session would show up as a connection. Let's go to the next panel, and this is slide 44. And this is more detail on Enterprise Extender. I talked to a lot of customers who are saying, I need to see, as I'm moving SNA from the traditional SNA to more Enterprise Extender, I need some new tools. And this is a case where the tools have evolved. Again, I want to look at the throughput rates and retransmission rates. The RTP pipes are the new concepts that we're seeing with this. And instead of class of service, you have the type of service here. So if we go to the next panel, 45, you're seeing all the information we just discussed. Again, you know, maybe I have performance issues, so I've got a high retransmission rate. So, you know, I have Enterprise Extender, and you're seeing its connections. I'm also seeing the TCP/IP performance, as I showed you earlier. So I can create a panel showing the Enterprise Extender information, performance information, like I show here, and I can also, on that same panel, drag and drop some information from the TCP/IP stack. And so I can see both stacks on one panel. It's very easy for us to do that. Let's go to slide 46, and just like Enterprise Extender, we also have HPR, High Performance Routing. Again, we've got various type of information we're looking to get, such as throughput rates, retransmission rates, and instead of TOS, we're looking for the class of service. So those are familiar with SNA, we recognize some of these terms, such as class of service and CP names. So let's go to slide 47. And here we're seeing information such as round trip time. Now here we have the variance, which says I normally get a round trip time of 3 seconds, but I'm getting something of 10 seconds. So I want to see the variance, which is what is it normally, and am I getting something that's out of variance, for example, something that's unusual. And so this is what I think about being able to see this information. And seeing it graphically, I'm able to see the trends that will jump out at me, okay? I'm also able to see other things that can cause performance issues. For example, path switches. I may have problems somewhere along the route that's causing severe performance problems. And you'd see that here on this panel because you see the retransmissions. You see the out-of-sequence buffers, unacknowledged buffers on here. All these things will cause performance problems. So you have it all here on one panel. And then if you want, you can also drag and drop the underlying TCP/IP window on the same panel, or you can keep that separate. So you do have a lot of flexibility in terms of managing these environments. Slide 48, again, I have a lot of people interested in managing FTP because of the potential it can have in terms of impacting performance of the whole environment. So I want to be able to look at FTPs by a whole variety of metrics. For example, I want to look by bytes. I want to look at the failures. I want to even look at the last command that was issued. Maybe I have some logon failures. I want to even look at the data set names. So let's look at slide 49. And here we're seeing a case where someone's saying my FTP performance is bad. So if you look at this, you can look at the round trip time is, in this case, it's 16 seconds. And then right next to it, you can see the total retransmission is 63. So right there on the screen, you've got the symptom and you've got the cause on the screen. Okay, you've got the symptom being the round trip time is very high. And I've highlighted that. You can have these things highlighted with different colors in terms of what type of problem you think it is. And then, of course, the cause is the total retransmission. And the retransmission could be due to I'm seeing the capacity of a attached router or my OS Express and so forth. And like I said, we have all the information available to you to figure out where these problems are. Now let's go look to slide 50. And this is an example is not only am I seeing the FTPs that are currently going on, which you'll see, but I'll also see the completed FTPs. And in this case, if you look at the completed information at the bottom, I'm showing you things like the file name, the data set name. I'll tell you the last command that was issued. I'll give you the IP address, how long it took for the FTP to complete. So there's a tremendous amount of information available to you, not only for the real-time data, but the completed FTP analysis. It's very, very powerful. The nice thing about this is we don't actually have to put an exit in to get this information. Like I pointed out, the ComServer is pulling this information for us. So this is very nice. Slide 51, I want to give you a little information. I've been talking about situations and thresholds, and I want to give you a little bit more detail on that. Well, basically what you can do is when you get a Megamon XE from mainframe networks, we'll give you 67 situations out of the box. Now, situation says you know, if you see a number of discards reaching, you know, 50 or 60, I want it to turn yellow or red. And so what we'll do is we'll ship you a lot of samples out of the box, in this case 67. I have it next panel. I'll show you some of the examples. And then you can go in there and modify them. You can increase it and decrease it. You can also modify it so that you can have any of the fields turn yellow and red that you want. So you can go ahead and see the byte count reaches a certain level. I want a warning and so forth. So you can do that so you don't actually have to issue an event. Let's go to slide 52, and this gives you more examples of some of the situations we give out of the box. We have, for example, CPU utilization, paging rates, and so forth. And if you can see on the right-hand side, when you create a situation, it's not really writing a script. Basically, it's what I would call fill in the blanks. So here we're saying if the number of out-of-segment buffers is greater or equal to 100, then I want you to give me a warning or event. And so that's all you have to do. You want to change the threshold to 50, you just go in there and change it to 50, assuming you have authority to do that. When you hit that situation, you can actually fill in what we call the expert advice, and you can say, well, if you see here, this out-of-sequence buffer could indicate a high CPU utilization, for example, or you can tell them to issue a certain command. So it's very, very powerful as far as not only the ones that come out of the box, but actually taking those and modifying them to meet your specific environment. Let's look at slide 53, and here's some more TCPIP ones. I'm not going to go over these, but some of them are for, like, discards and so forth. Some of these are actually quite simple. What I would recommend is you can go in here, you can modify them, and then turn them on, because most of these are not turned on automatically. A few of them are, but a lot of people would rather go in there and modify maybe the thresholds that you have in here, maybe the discount count. Maybe I want to reduce it from, you know, 10 to 5 or something like that. But like I said, to play with these is very, very simple. You can go in there, you click on it, and you can just override the fields. So it's really not a case where you have to write any scripts and so forth. Now, these are very simple situations. If you have, you can actually go ahead and issue some automation. So if you hit a situation, you can actually have it issue a command. You can do some automation out of the box. We also have workflow automation where if you hit a situation, you can have it issue a command and take the response to that. So we actually have what I would say have a fair amount of automation here. Now, if you have some advanced automation, such as the bring up or take down of an application, such as CI says, I'm DB2, for example, then you're talking something like a policy-based automation that you would get for something like system automation for ZOS, for example, where you'd have the automation already built for you. And by the way, I just want to mention that SA for ZOS does have some automation built in it for Megamon that we're actually now shipping. Slide 54 is just an overview of the structure for Megamon XE. The nice thing about leveraging this environment is if you already have a Megamon running someplace in your environment and it's already using the portal technology, then all you would need to do is install the agent. In this case, for Mainframe Networks, it would be an agent on the L-pod that you're talking about. And you don't have to install the rest of the infrastructure that we're talking about, any of the servers that are involved. So once you start using a Megamon, whether it's managing a ZOS or managing a distributed environment, you can leverage off that investment. Whereas in the past, with NetView, for example, I had web interfaces and I had GUI interfaces, but nobody else leveraged off the interfaces. They were dedicated to NetView. Leveraging the Megamon portal technology, for example, now everybody can leverage off of that, whether you're managing mainframes or even distributed environments. Slide 55, we just put it in for reference of how some of the names have changed from the Cannel names to the Tivoli names. I'm not going to go over these names. I'll just point out the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, which is what I've been demoing, used to be called the CannelNet Portal, and some of the other terms have changed too. I'm going to skip slide 56 and 57, 58. These are some of the prereqs that we have. You can use it for reference. Slide 59 is where you can get more information. Typically what I do is if you just type in www.tivoli.com, this is something we've had for a long time, it'll take you to the link that I'm showing you at the top of the screen, which is www.ibm.com/software, whatever. But if you just type in www.tivoli.com, it'll actually take you to this page, and it's got, if you click on products A to Z, you can click on O, for example, for Megamon, or N for NNetView. You can actually see all the manuals are online there. There will be demos there. You can see the support. You can see description of the product. It's very, very impressive. Everything's there. So if you ever have a question, www.tivoli.com. go to the product and you can get a lot of information. I also want to point out a white paper that's out there. It's NetView for ZOS 5.2 Integration Enterprise Management with Megamon. There's actually some of the things that I discussed today that's out there, so I've got the link for that. Now that we're showing you information about OSU Express, maybe you want to be able to understand it and turn it on. I've got a white paper on here. And the next slide, slide 60, basically, I talked about NetView feeding into the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. I talked about mainframe networks. What else would you be interested in? Well, for example, if you're managing SNMP, maybe I want to monitor USS, for example. Well, we have a Megamon for USS, so you can monitor that component. Or maybe I have a Linux system. So I get a lot of questions like, will mainframe network helping with the networking stack under a Linux and Z-Series? Well, the answer to that is it will look at the OSU Express interface. So if you have OSU Express going into Linux, you'll see that performance. And then if you want to look at the Linux information stack itself, we have an Omega Mon for Linux that you put on there, and it'll look at the byte counts and utilization, the networking components. And that all comes back to the Enterprise Portal Console. So depending on the environment you're looking for, whether it's WebSphere, Application Server, MQ Series, CISS, DB2, and so forth, it's all coming together now with the Enterprise Portal. So I'd like to thank you, slide 61. Thank you very much for your time. I'd like to hand it over to the moderator. We will be having a couple of developers on to answer questions. And I've got someone from NetView and someone from Mainframe Networks to help answer any more technical questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ernie. Now we'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Question 1. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press 1. If it was medium, press 2. Or if it was low, press 3. Question 2. Was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level? Press 1. Not technical enough? Press 2. Or if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press 3. Question 3. Which features and functionality may be beneficial to help you manage network performance issues? If it is TCP/IP on ZOS, press 1. If it is FTP-related status, press 2. If it is Enterprise Extender Monitoring, press 3. Or for all above, press 4. Question 4. Do you currently have any network management tools on ZOS? If yes, with NetView ZOS only, press 1. If yes, with both NetView and OmegaMon for mainframe networks, press 2. If yes, with a third-party vendor tool, press 3. Or if no, press 4. Question 5. Are you interested in a product live demonstration via webcast? If yes, press 1. If no, press 2. for our last question. Are you interested in receiving additional information regarding the product discussed today? If yes, press 1. If no, press 2. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now, let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. Actually, press star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. Once again, that is star 1 to ask a question. At this time, I will turn the call over to Ernie while we wait for questions.
Hi, this is Ernie Gilman. I just want to let you know we have two of our experts from development. We have Larry Green from NetView Development, and we have Paul Smith from MegaMan from Mainframe Network Development. They're both located in Raleigh, North Carolina.
And we do have a question for Veronica Malone.
Hi. I'm asking this question on behalf of my customer, and they asked me, they could not be on the call, so they asked me to ask the following. Is having SNMP active required for a Megamon XE for mainframe network products to work, or will a product work but features requiring SNMP be unavailable? Due to security considerations, they do have they do not have SNMP active on their Z990s.
Paul?
This is Paul Smith. So in order to get most of the some of the function for the upper level screens for the TCP/IP and for the OSA adapters, you do need the SNMP, OSNMP running on the system. If you look at the screen in the presentation where Ernie had showed which of the screens require the API versus which screens require SNMP.
Okay.
You'll notice there's a breakout, but you need to know that at least the high level TCP/IP, some of the interface data, et cetera, does come from SNMP.
Okay.
So,
but if you want to look at things like connections and FTP, the answer would be no.
Right.
So,
and if you want to look at a breakout per workspace to determine which ones exactly, like in Ernie's presentation, he showed, you know, he just made the term applications or whatever, right? If you want to see each and every workspace and where they get their data from, you can see that in the user's guide. There'll be a statement before where each workspace is defined. It'll tell you where the data comes from exactly, whether it's from SNMP or whether from the ZOS API.
Okay.
Okay.
So the answer is yes for the high-level TCP/IP data, and Ernie said no for what data?
To get the real breakout, you should really look at the user's guide, because you can get your connections data, you can get your FTP data, you can get your CSM buffers, et cetera.
So
there's
a lot
of it that you can get.
Right, so I would say no to get much of the data. You don't need SNMP, and the only thing left would be things like the OSA Express adapter, which does require SNMP. So the majority of the data does not require SNMP, and that's one of the advantages of going to the new API provided us. But like I said, like Paul mentioned, there are a couple things still left over, such as OSA Express, OSA Express adapter, which you'd have to turn on the OSA Express SNMP capability on. I think one of the nice, beautiful things about it is our documentation that we've added in here is very impressive, is what they've gone and done, and actually giving you the level of detail indicating where we're getting the information, whether they require SNMP or not, within the user's guide. And I'm actually quite impressed with that.
Okay, so can I get the user's guide then off that website that you referred
right.
to in the presentation?
Exactly. You can go to www.tivoli.com and then click on O for Megamon, and then click on a Megamon for Mainframe Networks. And then on the left-hand side, you can click, it'll say Product Manuals, and then you can see the user's guide.
Okay. And then lastly, which slide were you referring to in the presentation that showed which data
let's
required?
See. I will find that for you. Ernie, probably, I don't know if you remember that off the top of your head. It had three layers on it that showed the SNMP.
Yeah, that was the beginning of the mainframe network section. And that was in slide 28.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Since we were talking about documentation and stuff, something else had come to mind, Ernie. There's also a website that has CCR2 data on it, or CCR2 reports on it, and that used to, I think that acronym stood for Candle Computer Report, second generation or something like that. In any case, it's Charlie Roger 2, and that website out there has a great list of kind of white papers and information about the best way to set up situations. It's kind of a general for Omegamon products and for ZOS products, but it is a good source, and I meant to tell you that, to have that, add that in. But if you just do a search, an internet search for CCR2, you will find a lot of information about the ZOS and the Candle or the Omegamon products. So just FYI.
Good.
Our next question comes from Roger Trotman.
Hi. I'm interested to know how the product scales. For example, our TN3270 servers handle 10,000 sessions currently, and that will be going up. I'm just wondering how that would display and how I'd drill down the investigative response time problem.
Okay. So we have tested here with... comfortably with 30,000. We don't necessarily have all first-level LPARs here. We kind of run on second-level systems for testing as much as we can, but we've run with 30,000 TN3270 sessions. We've also run with multiple LPARs, I think somewhere between 10 and 14 at a time. So the scaling for that level that you're talking about should not be an issue. On the TN3270 screens, you will notice, and on some of the other screens or the workspaces, that what we will do is instead of displaying all the data to you, we will have default filters on some of those screens. Okay, and when I say default filter, what we will do is we'll by default display only, you know, for example, connections with byte rate greater than some amount. Okay, so we're trying to filter out the types of information that do not signify a problem and address the types of information that might signify a problem to you. So those filters that I'm discussing are also stated in the user's manual that I referenced earlier. So as you go through and look at each workspace screenshot in the user's guide, we also describe all the attributes, where we get the data from, and whether or not there's a default filter on the workspace. And so one of the things that you want to do is go through and look at those workspaces and see if you as a customer are happy with that particular default workspace filter. Okay? And you can modify these filters to be whatever you want. Obviously, this is just the out-of-the-box values that we presented to you. Okay?
Okay, thanks.
Further comments. One of the reasons we're able to scale some to the numbers we're talking about is because we're using that new comp server API, and that's what's giving us the scalability in terms of the number of TN3270 connections that we can manage now.
I think that probably answers my next question, which was what is the agent overhead which uses the API, and so I found that it's not too great.
Right, it's embedded right into the comp server. We're using the API to gather the TN3270 information, and then that's going to the mainframe network agent, which is you have that running on each LPAR. Paul, you can comment on that.
Right, on each LPAR, you're going to have your management agent running.
Yeah.
And then as the information becomes available, comp server is actually keeping track of it. In its own internals, and as the information becomes available, mainframe networks gets kind of tapped on the shoulder to give us that type of information. And then there's other types of information that we actually pull. And when you set up the product, you actually create a polling interval. By default, it's every 5 minutes. So certain other types of information, like let's say the CSM data, for example, we pull that every 5 minutes from Comp Server through a different a similar API.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We'll move next to Lynn Kopak.
Hi. My question is about OSA Express. Does this product also support non-QDIO OSA, and does it support the newer adapters, the OSA Express 2?
It does. Hi, Lynn. It does support the newer adapters. It's actually the MIB, the latest MIB. It'll support the values from the latest MIBs.
Okay.
And it will support either OSA SF or the OSA Express. Did you ask me a third question?
I noticed in the snapshot example on slide 39, it says OSA Direct Express, which is QDIO OSA. If I have an OSA configured as non-QDIO using LCS, is that also supported?
Yeah, you'll get the high level. If you look at the user's guide, you'll see, I believe, three levels of OSA adapter screens.
Okay.
And what you will do is you'll get the high-level values. It's kind of like it goes from summary values of kind of how is the whole thing, how is the whole OSA performing, and then you drill down to, like, the ports and adapters, et cetera, to get
okay.
more information. As you drill down, you don't get all of the information on the second level.
Okay.
But you will get your high level for each of those.
Okay. And I just have one other question right now. For example, slide 39, which is showing OSA Express performance, that is a GUI interface. Is that something that each of us would then install this on our particular workstations that we use to test that then interfaces with the agent running in the LPAR?
Yeah, so if you go to the slide that Ernie showed the whole environment with the agents out on the right side. Which slide was that? It was towards the end.
Oh, wait, towards the end? Okay.
Ernie, do you know that?
Slide 54.
Thank you very much.
Let me
know if I'm not answering your question, but. So if you look at slide 54, you're going to install the what we're calling the Intelligent Remote Agent, which is the monitoring agent, with an SMPE install, and then you're going to configure that with what we call the OmegaMont configuration tool,
mm-hmm.
which is a TSL-driven type green screen. Okay, you do that once, and you set your polling interval, et cetera, there. And then you're gonna also install your CMS. I think we spoke briefly about your particular setup. So in your environment, you're probably gonna install your hub TEMS. I'm sorry, is the term TEMS. You're gonna install that on your Windows box as well as your TEPS on your Windows box. And then once you've got those installed, you can use a browser from any other machine to connect to your TEPS machine.
Oh, okay.
To bring up this user interface.
But you don't have to install anything on the end user if you don't want to.
Oh, okay.
Right, you don't have to. Or you can also run it in desktop mode, which basically means it's running as a Java application on your machine. Either way.
Okay, all right.
So this is just the browser interface.
Great, okay. Thank you
Perfect.
Very much.
Mm-hmm.
And just a reminder, it is *1 if you do have a question today. We'll go next to Howard Soros.
Yes, Ernie, I'm the fellow who gives you the hard time at Share. So you should recognize me, probably. Okay, I'm just trying to pin down what I've got to buy here, and I'll just say that we already have NetView 5.1 here, and we already have NPM 2.7. And it looks to me that I'm looking at your slide 5 there. If I get the one thing I need to get by, then is in addition is the OmegaMon XE for mainframe networks. And if I get that, then I would get all of the things that I would have gotten from the NPM IP and so forth in terms of IP. And I also get the NPM itself as part of the package.
Right. I mean, obviously, for NetView, obviously, if you got 5.1, you're going to get 5.2. So there's nothing to get there. The only thing you will get is you'll get the new portal server stuff. So that you'll get on the NetView side. And you'll also get the same thing on the now, the fact you have NPM, right?
Yes.
That's now embedded. The, actually, the upgrade path for NPM is a Megamon XD for mainframe networks 3.1 now. So basically, as you pointed out, it's an embedded product now. So that's your upgrade. It'll be the same product, so you don't have to reinstall it. But you, it's now embedded as part of the Megamon XD for mainframe networks.
Okay, and so when I order that, I'll get that. So probably
right, so you don't have to have both. You know, you can see you drop the other the NPM license. I don't know, Paul. I don't know if you want to comment on that or not.
I had a static connection here. Can you repeat that?
Well, I'm interested in what I need to buy, and I'm looking at the Omegamon XE there, and I see that it also includes NPM.
Yes.
And I guess I've also heard here that we get the portal, I guess, with the NetView.
Yes.
I guess the if we already have an NPM license, I suspect we'll talk to our marketing rep and maybe we'll discontinue that license and then get the Omegamon license, and that.
Right. Yeah, because it's included.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. You were breaking up a little bit, so I didn't get all your first initial question. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it.
Yeah.
And like I said, you wouldn't have to reinstall NPM. You could continue using the one you have, you're currently running if you wanted to, and then just you could go ahead and just install the portal servers and that you would implement the Mega Man stuff. And then you can also implement the NetView integration into that.
Yeah.
And another thing to note is that a lot of the support that NPM has, Omega Man 2 has also. So if for any reason you wanted to use the green screens that are provided by Megamon 2 to look at your SNA data or your NCP, I'm not sure which you're managing with NPM, but that's also something you might want
right.
to look
but
at.
You probably would, I would just recommend we use what you're using today. So if you're using NPM, just continue using that.
Yeah, if you're happy with that, go forward, yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So it looks like for us then, I mean, in the past there seemed to be all these different pieces that we'd end up having to buy, and I think with this one then... basically, most everything that you have shown us here, given the fact we already have NetView, if we get the Omegamon XC, then
that's it.
That's it.
Right.
Okay. Very good.
And we'll move next to Joe DePrill.
Hi. I just have more, sort of a specific question on the packet trace capabilities. Can you drill down in more detail of what was shown on the handout and the capabilities to filter the data? And number two, can the data be saved somewhere to review later on?
Larry, you want to talk about that?
Okay. I'm not sure which slide that was on, but
that was slide 13.
Okay. With regard to filtering, yes, there's a great deal of filtering capability, so you can pull out essentially just the data that you're interested in and not have to be bothered with a lot of extraneous stuff. And yes, that is saved, so you can go back and look at it later if you need to. So was there a third part to your question?
No, I think the first part was, is there more detail to what was shown on that foil? I guess there is. You can drill down further.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh,
now
yes.
That answers my three questions. Thank you.
The important thing about the packet trace is that NetView didn't go out and create its own packet trace formatter. What we're doing is actually using the comp server packet trace formatter, and so that the NetView data is going to match the packet tracing that the comp server. So they're always in sync. So if you want to submit data to... level 2 or 3 or whatever, or analyzing, and you want to compare data from both comp server and NetView, it's the same data, and it's going to look the same. Is that all right, Larry?
That's correct, and because it is the comp server formatter, you don't have to learn a new format. If you've been used to seeing packet traces in the past, it's still the same format.
Okay, thank you.
And that does conclude our question and answer session with no further questions in the queue. I'll turn the call back to Ernie for closing remarks.
Well, thank you very much for dialing in. I think you would agree this is very exciting in terms of trying to reduce another consoles that you have to use between NetView and mainframe networks, leveraging the new APIs that we use with comp server. So we're all very excited about these new releases. And like I said, these releases are not, we're not talking about future products here. These are all available today. And so you can go ahead and get these and order these right now. Thank you very much.
And that does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation, and have a great day.